At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted Podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the Permission Granted Podcast, the PGP, show about the show, the show within the show. This is the podcast about the radio show, which is found on its own podcast feed. Search Permission Granted for just this project. However, you can get it on the DA Show podcast feed as well and inside the free Odyssey app. Well, now Side A features yours truly and Andrew Bogish. Side B will be Andrew Bogish and Pat Boyle. Is this a sign of things to come, perhaps, or perhaps just a moment in time where before we find another executive producer, Pat Boyle's filling in for the slot? Right now, we're at week 3 of interviews, I think, that are done by Pete the Body and two of our bosses. I believe all three of them have been in some way, shape, or form. Either all three or two of the three have been involved in the second level of this thing. So we got all of the applications and the on-air interviews from our listeners. Then those three picked the best of the applicants and the on-air interviews, then did off-air interviews. And then they finalize it to like a list of 5, I think. And then I interview the final 5, either with them or without them, I don't know. And then we choose after that. So we're probably a few weeks away from the final decision. But they're in the thick of the weeds right now, and I have no idea where the horses are.
And I just love, well, two things about this. I love your kingmaker role, that you're on the outside looking in.
It's the best way to do it.
In and out of the office, on and off the show. You guys do all of the heavy lifting. I'm going to come in late after you've weeded out all of the underqualified people, lack of creativity, lack of on-air, whatever it is. You get me down 5, 6, 7, 8 people. I walk in and go, yes, no, no, maybe yes, no, no. And then we're basically done.
Now you're getting it, folks.
Love that part.
Now you're getting it.
And as always, I love the Pete part. Nobody wants power and importance more than Pete until he gets it. And then it's like he didn't ask for it. He wanted, honored at first to be asked to be part of the interview process. Now he's taking off complete days, skipping the show, huffing, puffing, hemming, and hawing. He's got laptops out, earpieces in, throwing resumes everywhere. I mean, like, again, it doesn't have to be like this, Pete. You could have just been the board op and been fine, but he wanted it. Now he has it, and he hates it.
Yes, and the way that it was described to me was we would just have the bosses go through the stacks of resumes, whittle it down to those finalists, and then I said, Pete, you can be with me at the final level of this video game, and you could just interview with me like the last 4 or 5 candidates. He didn't want that. He wanted to be part of everything. He wanted elbow deep in the applicants. And so I said, all right, but it adds all that much more work. And he said how kind of taxing it's been, which I don't blame him. I mean, these are long interviews.
Yeah, and he's got
like 30 of them.
And he's got all sorts of theories, new day, new theory on the type of person that we should hire.
Oh, it's been a moving target for him?
Yeah, it could be this person, it could be this type of person, somebody inside, somebody outside, male, female, young or old, new to the business, seasoned pro. I don't know what's going on in these interviews, but every day seems to bring a new thought from Pete on how we should proceed, when is this going to be wrapping up. It's a lot. And without Sean, I'm really the only person here. I'm the lone sounding board left. Boyle, Carlos, Ryan Betcher, those guys are not getting this. I'm the target for Pete.
Because those guys are candidates.
That too, but also I just don't think the trust level is there yet.
I see.
So it's me or nobody. So I'm getting the full brunt of like the Bilotti offload.
So today is Wednesday. Pete was off. Do you feel like, you know, you're refreshed because you didn't have to deal with that today?
I do feel a little lighter. Now, the no Wendy's breakfast did probably kill whatever good vibes we're building. Yeah. But I think it's still a net positive that only my problems are my problems today, not Pete's as well.
So I've been really impressed by outside interest in the position. Of course, there are people internally that are part-timers that want to be full-time or working on shifts that might be worse hours than us, or they're looking for a raise or something. And so there's been internal interest, which is awesome. But outside, there's been a lot of people reaching out that produce other shows around the country and or have produced other shows around the country. And that's been really cool to me. But I am wondering one question that I have a bit of a sinking feeling about. Are the people outside the company, or maybe the people inside the company, but certainly outside, do they look at Mraz from the outside as having become a star and said, well, this is my chance to become a star. And maybe I use this as my launching pad versus somebody that really wants to come in and, you know, and do the work. Because if you're coming in hoping to follow the Mraz formula, I got news for you. It probably ain't going to happen. Because Mraz was kind of like a unicorn in that way.
Yeah, I think I said this on the air, but I almost certainly in here, and this is a full compliment. Mraz is like, you don't want to be the guy that follows him. You want to be the guy that follows the guy that followed him. I don't want to be the immediate comparison point to him because he is that special, and begrudgingly, he's that talented. And yeah, I don't think you can replicate that directly. And now what is helpful, I think, in your cause, there was a time where nothing changed on WFAN. Now things seem to change like every 18 months or so.
Right.
So there's going to be a hole somewhere sometime soon-ish that if you were to come in here and turn heads, maybe you had a chance, but I don't think they need another show pony anywhere else. So to do a direct Mraz impersonation, I don't think it's the way to go.
No.
But maybe there is a Mraz path through your show to hitting it big locally. I don't know.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the New York path if you're coming from outside and you're not a New Yorker, because that station tends to only use New Yorkers on the air. But if you were thinking like, oh, the show, the DA show, puts the producer on, you know, the air a lot, and I can use that to become a personality, and then maybe within the company I can use that to move to Minnesota, to do something in Houston, to do something in Philadelphia. That's certainly plausible, but again, I would warn against that thinking. Now, maybe all these applicants coming from the outside are just like, I want to work on that show. It seems fun. It's a good network gig.
Pete seems great.
Pete seems like an amazing guy. But the other thing is that Mraz, we did this for nearly 11 years with Mraz. So this was not a quick thing. Like, it wasn't as though in year three they said Mraz is ready for his own show, which is why we were always joking about go to Grand Rapids and do a show.
Right.
Go to Tucson and do a show, because that was, if there was ever a path, that was going to be the path for Mraz. So this took 11 years and he never went anywhere else. So,
and we tried.
We tried.
Rented vans and everything.
I made demo reels for him. I typed up his resume.
Bought stations. And then I didn't even hire him.
He kept coming close to all the jobs I had open at my radio stations, but I just decided there was somebody better for all
Pete
of them.
Always said no at the end. Pete had last call, always shot him down.
But I'm telling you, don't come here and hope to replicate the Mraz thing. Of course, we like everybody on the air, and of course, I like multiple voices. And of course, you know, if your personality is such, I would certainly tap into that. But I could be totally wrong. But we've had such interest from outside the building. I wonder if people just saw Mraz keep going viral all the time, thinking, oh, that's what that job is.
Yeah, I mean, well, they certainly saw Sean.
He had to have been one of the most recognizable producers of the industry.
Had to, and because of him, because of you, because of Pete, you know, we showed up on top 10 lists here. So, like, people knew the show exists. CBS Sports Radio is still CBS Sports Radio. And I think as well, you know, it's public knowledge. They put a salary range on the job posting, and that I know for a fact drew a lot of eyes because
I think they withdrew that.
But at first they did. And people were like, oh, okay. Fair. And then that, I think, changed the dynamic a little bit as well. Now, maybe some folks have since backed out if that number has been publicly rescinded, but it was out there for a good, I don't know, week or so. And people were like, that's more money than I make right now. So I think that pulled some folks in as well.
Yeah. I don't know what that ended up being because I think Mraz was like, that's not how much I was making. So I don't know what exactly went on there, but it's interesting. So this week we had Victoria in Mobile call up and say she might have to cut the cord with the show because there's a little bit too much silliness and that she sometimes thinks that we sound like cackling hyenas. And that was a funny bit on Tuesday about trying to be serious and how much laughing is too much laughing. And it ended up being a pretty funny thing, but it did make me wonder if I always think this, like, are there moments where we think something that's really funny is actually not that funny? And everybody listening is like, guys, this is not that good.
100%. I think that's just natural, right? I mean, there are things that you and your buddies would joke about. And if I was sitting there to go, you guys are losers.
True.
You do the reverse. And even funny comedians and actors are sometimes not funny. Like, there are bad Will Ferrell movies. There are times where he's not funny.
What's the worst one?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe that's a bad person to bring up. But, like, not everything's a hit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anything Adam Sandler does now is entertaining. I don't need any of these Netflix deal movies he's got.
Land of the Lost was probably pretty bad from Will Ferrell. I never saw
it.
Okay. But.
So, like, not everything is perfect. What's strange to me is there did seem to be an uptick in negativity over the last couple of days. Like, there was a mean tweet, too, about something. Like, I don't understand, like, I know there's more hate in, like, social. Are there more now troll callers available? Do people just stumble upon the show? I don't think the laughing has gone up.
Yeah.
Than, like, some recent times. So that was a strange little kind of rapid fire anger from people.
Do you think that people are upset that Mraz left and now the show is not the same and they're looking to just, like, rip anything?
I
don't think Victoria in Mobile is not listening because Mraz isn't around.
I mean, do we know how old Victoria was? Was she one of the youths that Sean likes to influence and therefore she had lost her way over the last like 8 or 9 days?
She sounded much older than a youth.
All right. So I don't know how to explain it. But if missing Sean was the thing, then say you guys suck without Sean. We laugh like hyenas and he in particular
totally laughed
like a wild animal when he was here.
Yeah, yeah. She was kind of saying that I think she just wants a more middle-of-the-road sports radio experience, and certainly Mraz would not have added to that.
No.
So, but you found an uptick in negativity amongst tweeters?
Yeah, you read a tweet, I thought, from another guy that said he was cutting bait, or whatever color the expression is, and he was bailing on the show for something else. You read the tweet coming back from break.
Yeah.
A similar theme.
I like reading those tweets.
Yeah.
I do really like that. I like it because I find it ridiculous. Think about Victoria in Mobile. Having a certain enough, a specific enough desire to listen to the show that she wants to keep coming back from war, but there's something that's driving her away, and she feels like she needs to call up to publicly break up about it.
Right.
I really like that dynamic. I love the fact that people would tweet in what they don't like. It's like, I don't know. I love reading those. I love hearing that.
Along those lines, if you're going to DM me about a sportsman that I do, I'm going to need you to be more specific because I don't always see them right away because Twitter will funnel ones from strangers, so to speak, into like a secondary inbox. So then I'll find them weeks later. And if they don't mention what the minute's about, I'm not sure what the complaint is. And like you, I want to know the complaint. I kind of want to address it. Because it's only like once, you know, I can imagine when you have constant hate, you're paying no attention to them. But when I get random hate, I want to go back and forth with somebody. But I found one the other day that was just like, it was something that made me sound too liberal or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to need you to be more specific about your complaint from 3 weeks ago. So I'm not going to backtrack and see what my topic was that day.
Today there was free Wendy's dropped off and Carlos swung open that studio door.
Yeah.
DA. There's free Wendy's out there. We got to get it now. Okay, all right. Run out there. There's a woman dropping off bags, I guess French toast sticks. I got like a sausage, egg, and cheese or something, which was fine. I don't think you made a terrible mistake not eating it compared to how my stomach feels right now.
Right.
So you're probably fine. But I did find it hysterical that Carlos and Pat are usually in pretty good mood. They've got good energy. They're good attitude guys, at least when I'm around them. But this put them on a totally different level. It was like they had just taken happy pills. It was like they were on drugs because they ate that free Wendy's. We came back from break, and they were literally dancing together in unison behind the glass at like 8:20 in the morning.
Well, so obviously, Carlos, when he's not here, Carlos is oftentimes serving our country in the reserves. Mm. And I'm assuming they don't give them free breakfast. He shares pictures of like crawling through the mud and stuff like that. So I think when he comes here, it's a really significant change from his daily routine sometimes. So, and then you throw breakfast on top of just not being like shot at and training for killing and whatnot. Why would he not be gleeful?
I guess that's true. Does Carlos, is he allowed to just like eat whatever he wants if he's part of the reserves? I mean,
you know what?
Can you just crush Wendy's breakfasts and French toast sticks and, or do you have to be on some type of training regimen?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like...
Unless he's at like a guard post in like, you know, New Jersey somewhere. Yeah.
I guess he can be deployed at almost any moment. So in theory, he should always be in fighting shape.
Yeah.
If I'm being polite, she's not. I'm not. You're not. Boyle probably is of the group.
Boyle's closest.
The closest, right.
I don't know if he's in shape.
You don't want any of us on the wall, so to speak, at this particular point. But
tracking terrorists? No.
Yeah. I mean, it also seems like the government needs help on that front, so they can't be that picky. So they'll take whatever they can get. So have your free Wendy's.
And so it's kind of like Army trying to find a quarterback. They can't be too picky.
Exactly. It's if you're smart, you can get in and you can hand off. You're our guy.
Okay, so that's where Carlos is in the reserves. We just need warm bodies here.
Yeah. Yeah, and Boyle, he's got a lot going on. You'd think free Wendy's breakfast would be less appealing to Boyle, but I feel like he was actually the one who was happiest in that dynamic.
Yeah, he was super happy. Boyle also rooting for the age where he actually comes out with dementia was an interesting twist.
I'm going to need more information on what you experience as you're having dementia. I think Boyle may be assuming that it's just this state of like blissful ignorance. Mm-hmm. I feel like at times you're aware of how crappy it is.
It's got to be torturous to not be able to remember things you used to be able to remember.
But do you know that you're not remembering them? Or are you just and it's only shitty crappy for the rest of your family?
No.
Then
I think you're fine. I think that you're going through a slow deterioration of your brain and things that you used to be able to compute or calculate or remember, you start realizing you can't do it anymore. Of course, at some point in time, if you're totally out of it, you won't remember that, but you don't get there overnight.
Well, I think that's what he's focusing on. He's on the last stage where...
The blissful end game.
Right. I don't think he's accounting for the horrible slow decline to there. He's looking forward to when all faculties are gone, completely disconnected from reality.
True, because he wants his kids to have to hose him down.
Right. And had you asked me before he gave this theory out, I would have pegged him for a guy who'd be like, dude, at 65, kill me. If I can't get, if I can't perform and I'm, this is sagging or whatever, I don't want to be alive. Yeah. Instead, he's like, I want to be as alive as long as possible, my health be damned.
And be a drain on my family.
Right. Have some weird reality show where they're competing for my last bits of affection.
He's a sicko.
He really is. Let me tell you. Maybe we shouldn't associate with him.
I don't know. That might have taken him out of this role. He is a sicko.
Pete would not have approved of that.
No.
Carlos let it go. Pete would have been very judgmental. Yes.
Yeah. And it would have been borderline offensive to Pete. And he would have said
100%.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's side A. So you got this sicko coming up on side B?
Oh, great. Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
Possibility means you have a chance. Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
And now here we are on side B of the PGP, the show about the show within the show. It's Bogus and it's Boyle this week. Tim Doyle, how are we today?
I am great, Bogues. I got a belly full of Wendy's breakfast. I couldn't be better.
Yeah, you know, I think I made a big, good decision Wednesday morning. I've been eating like crap recently. It's been really frustrating me. There's been a lot of free food in the last couple of weeks here because of the Sean departure. There were multiple Wendy's breakfasts. There were bagels. There was a Fudgy the Whale.
Wow.
There was morning buffalo chicken pizza, courtesy of DA.
My God.
So there was a lot, and I would have loved the French toast sticks. That is a great invention, well done by Wendy's in particular. So I was momentarily heartbroken, but in the end, I think I did a good thing by skipping and not going to find the lady with the Wendy's upstairs.
Yeah, and I mean, I offered.
You
showed restraint, because there was a couple French toast sticks. There was a couple of potato French fries, potato breakfast fries that were available. I said, hey, you want some? Why don't you go upstairs? Nobody's going to eat it up there. That's what she said. Mm. You restrained. So I give you a lot of credit, but I got to tell you, man, it made my morning. Nothing makes my morning like free breakfast, especially here at this place, because I'm used to, if I wake up like a normal 8:30 a.m. wake-up time for me when I'm not here, I don't eat until about noon or 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I try to fast somewhat, or I'll have like a banana at 9 a.m. and then try not to eat until lunch. For some reason, when I do these shifts, when I'm up at 4 in the morning, I'm hungry by 6:15, and I don't want to eat like a lard,
right.
So I would try to have the banana. I got the Chobani flip. That's usually all I eat by the time I leave, and I'm still hungry then by 1 o'clock. So I give you a lot of credit.
Well, I did have some yogurt and granola this morning, so I have had breakfast before the Wendy's showed up. But that's one of the problems for me with these hours. I wake up hungry.
Yeah.
My wife wakes up unhungry and then can go deep into the afternoon before she really eats something. So this like intermittent fasting craze that's going on is on the easier side for her because she wasn't a breakfast person to begin with. But I wake up hungry.
Mm.
I could eat within 20 minutes of my eyes opening.
Same.
So when I'm here or waking up as early as I do, like I'm kind of awake most days for like four meals. I don't have four meals, but like I get up here and I get here by like five, whatever, and like I want to have something there.
Immediately.
Then it's a long haul to traditional lunchtime around 12. Then there's dinner, but sometimes something happens in between those meals. It's a lot, and that's hard to kind of space things out and not overeat just by being awake for so long.
Not expected to go from 12 till 6, 12 to 7 with nothing in between.
You know, right.
Snacking in between. And then also there's sometimes where you eat dinner. Let's say you eat at 6. You're hungry by 9:30. You go to bed by 9:30, 10. You want a little nightcap, a little dessert, a little yum-yum. But I got to tell you, you're a pretty skinny guy.
Yeah.
Nah, you're a skinny guy. You look skinny. You look like you're in shape. You don't look like you're overweight at all, not even close. But for no offense, for a guy of your age, married with kids, what are you holding on to? Why don't you just you
personal pride? Looking in the mirror, not being bending over and feeling weird ripples of whatever, you know, fat or whatever.
Being able to see your Bo Jackson when you go to the bathroom.
That's an easy goal to try to attain. Now, DA and I finished side A with your proclamation on Wednesday morning show that you are hopeful that your life would end in this dementia-fueled bliss where your many family members are fighting over your inheritance. Have you had any reason to rethink that, walk that back since you said it, or you, as you're shaking your head now, you're still on board?
Yeah, not whatsoever. Not walking that back at all.
Okay.
I've seen it happen in my family.
Right.
I've seen my grandma go through it. I've seen the pain and struggle my mom had to go through while knowing that because my mom's two siblings are, for lack of a better term, scumbags, they didn't want any part in taking care of her.
Okay.
My mom's getting all that inheritance money. She's using grandma's money, mum, as we called her, to fix the multiple things in the house that she broke because of her dementia.
Okay.
She must have broke about 7 pairs of blinds for the back door, just yanking them down or not knowing how to use them. All the money for adult diapers, food,
right,
clothes, just normal living, daily living things over the span of 10 years that she lived with us. It's a pretty good life to have, man. If you get to the point where you are unable to take care of yourself, I don't want to go into some nursing home where I'm going to be taken advantage of. I am going to be treated poorly. So either throw me in the trash to rot or have my family members who at that point, you know, hopefully still love and want to take care of me, and they're looking for a little bit of extra incentive to do that, get to wipe me, change me, feed me, all while I just, and for the most part, I'm not like, yeah, you suckers. You know, at that point, your brain's turning into mush, so you kind of need them to take care of you. It's not a bad way to go out.
I guess DA and I's initial confusion or main confusion is that you're aware of your deterioration. Like, it takes a while to get to the point where you're not aware of how helpless you are. Like, that's the crappy part.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like you're acting as if you just wake up one morning and you've just checked out and you're not aware that you're inconveniencing everybody and that you can't control your bowels and whatever. But it takes a while to get there, which has to be like hell getting there. So I don't know.
Yeah,
the payoff is not worth that.
I've already started to deteriorate.
You have?
Well, I think we all have.
But above the natural decline, you think, for yourself, or?
Debatable. That's up for debate.
All right, well, that's a thing.
But yeah, I mean,
a side topic you might want to get addressed.
Yeah, maybe. There are definitely checkpoints in the road where you are addressing your own mortality. You come face-to-face with your mortality and with your deterioration.
Yeah.
And I would assume the first probably initial steps, not being able to walk on your own anymore, needing help to get out of the car, that first oopsie you might sustain, you go, whoa, what is happening? Not being able to digest your food as well, needing somebody to help you put your shoes on, those are probably painful. First couple bumps in the road, those probably hurt. After that, you start to accept it. You put your pride to the side because you're old and you've seen so much stuff by the time you're 60, 70, 80 probably. It's easier to swallow your pride once you address those couple bumps in the road. And that coupled with your brain turning into mush, you don't really know what's going on after a certain point.
Now, I said this to DA on side A before you said all of this. Had this topic randomly come up in a different way, I would have pegged you for a guy that wouldn't want to live past like your physical prime. That if you got to 65, 68 and parts of you weren't working anymore and you couldn't spread that seed, that maybe you'd lost a little of your physical attractiveness to the ladies and there wasn't a Mrs. Boyle next to you, that you'd been like, you know what? I've had a good run, I'm out. But here you are saying you want to stay alive as long as possible, the shape you're in be damned.
Absolutely.
All right.
I want to ride off into the sunset, a sun that really never sets.
You want to lay there. The sun sets behind you.
I want to bake in the sun. No, I'm not the kind of guy that's like, oh, by the time I'm 50, I'm going to be, just kill me already.
Right.
No, I want to live to 100. I want to be gross, slovenly old. People laughing at me when my family has to like wheel me to dinner and I'm drooling on myself, or I don't remember my son's name or whoever, you know, person right next to me, or I just forget what year it is. I embrace all that.
All right.
Actually, I can't wait for that. Yeah.
I've got to ask you about the job search. And first of all, going back to Friday's show, you and I together, and Cap being the pot stirrer that he is, the question he attached to the Target Demo Friday meme was, who should take Sean's job? And I would think at least 80% of the answers mentioned you. Got to be awkward, right? I mean, I'm assuming you didn't. While you liked all the answers, it was a weird spot to be in.
Oh, absolutely. It was very uncomfortable.
How has it been? Any reaction from you? Because you interviewed early in this process. To see the likes of Hickey show up in a tuxedo, did that give you any doubts about the way you handled your sit-down with Pete?
No. No, I'm very at ease. I'm very confident, comfortable in the way I approach the situation. In case anybody's wondering, I wore slacks and an orange Nike polo, so
yes.
I think I dressed well enough. I don't think I needed a suit. I actually remember our boss, Spike Eskin, and whoever else was in on it, telling Sean to show up to his photos for the new WFAN afternoon show in a suit, only for them to rag on him. So I figured, let me not do that. Let me not wear a suit. I've embraced the competition for this job from the outset, from the get-go. It is an extremely tremendous opportunity for anybody that's in this building or outside. It's an amazing show that makes waking up at 4:30 in the morning very bearable, because the show is awesome. Working with you guys is awesome. It's fun. So I embrace that there are many people that would like to interview and have this job. I'm a fan of all the competition. I'm a fan of seeing what everybody's bringing to the table. And, you know, again, I'm confident in the skill set that I bring here. And, yes, it was a little uncomfortable to hear all those things on the show on Friday, a show that I was not producing and somebody that's a candidate for was producing, or whoever else works on the show, like Jeff in Pittsburgh on today's show, saying he's withdrawing his application because he wants me to have it. Carlos with a K is another candidate who's interviewing for the show. Because I like Carlos. I love EJ. I love the guys that and the girls that I work here with. That part's uncomfortable. But it's nice to know that I've got the support of most of the D-Aliens, most of the fan base. That makes me happy.
Last thing I'll ask about this. Is there anything in addition to Hickey's tuxedo? Any other rumors, whispers? You don't have to name names, but anybody else doing anything odd, quirky, weird, over the top? Anybody bring in, like, PowerPoints, or do we have any kind of behind the scenes tidbits like that?
No, man, I don't know much outside of the Hickey tuxedo thing. I haven't heard much. I saw Carlos with a K, I think, wore a suit.
He did, yes.
A linen suit,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's nice. That's some points for him. No, outside of those two things, I haven't heard anything. You know, everybody's been kind of hush hush. It's been very cordial in the newsroom. But I think a lot of this comes back to Fort Knox, which is Pete Bilotti.
Yes.
And he keeps his cards inside of his chest, let alone close to him. So he has not let on with anything at all. He has not made any whispers to anybody. So it's a big great mystery here that is spanning quite some time.
And to note on that front, I swear I mentioned to Pete taping side B with him on this day to talk about the process, and Pete's not here today.
Mm.
Never mentioned it to me. Showed up on Wednesday. No Pete. Where'd he go? Is he dodging me on purpose? I don't know, but it's my duty here on side B, as long as I'm in charge of it, to get some dirt out of him about this process along the way. Might not be immediate, but I'm going to break him down at some point.
I don't think you are. He, like I said, he's Fort Knox, man. He is. You heard him yesterday. He was, DA asked him about the process because DA still has not been super involved.
Yeah.
The one thing I do know is that they are not yet finished. If maybe today they're finishing the first round of interviews.
Crazy.
I had my interview was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So he was asked about it yesterday. He gave a very corporate jargon, corporate speech, not giving anything. He's going to give you the same thing, man. You're not going to get anything from him.
All right. As Sean likes to ask in closing, where can we follow you on Twitter?
At Pat Boyle, 44.
At Andrew Bogish from me. As always, thanks for listening. That's Side B. We'll see you again soon as the PGP disconnects.